Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert here at the Switchboard, January 19th. He can't give his famous line today because I've got his microphone. We couldn't find mine. You found it, Pavel. Oh, thank you. Okay. Albert, here. You need to say, we don't want you to be...
No, yours isn't. Now it's on.
So, welcome. This is January
19th, 2006.
And you're here listening to the live broadcast for an hour and a half.
And we're recording it today.
And
starting
recording
today.
It. Good. And I'm going to make them available on MP3 or DVD for those who want to travel around and listen. They just can't get enough, you know?
Yeah.
That's fine. We are the right-wing radicals who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. There has never been a dumber idea than to teach the kids they all came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago. I can't imagine that people really believe that, but hey, they're out there, so that's why we're here. We can straighten them out.
Yeah.
Okay? You can join us on the program two different ways. You can call 877-479-DINO. Or 850-479-DINO. Either way, go to extension 136. Or you can instant message us. And Awesome Albert will pick up your message and send it on through to me. And that is Dr. Dino Live.
Copy and paste.
Control-C, Control-V, right? You know about Control-Z?
No, I don't know Control-Z.
Control-Z will undo whatever you just did.
Really?
For the last 20 things you just did.
Really?
If you have it set up that way.
No.
Okay. I have mine set up to do 20. You can set your computer to undo the last 5 or the last 10, you know, but Control-Z. Neat. Control-U will underline whatever's highlighted. Control-I will italicize it. There's a lot. I type slow.
So do I.
But I know all the shortcuts.
I'm getting faster, though, doing this radio program.
Mm-hmm. I type 12 words a minute with 19 mistakes, and we're working at it. Okay? Okay, from yesterday, we got a couple of instant messages got left over hanging. From the 18th yesterday, so we're going to get those, and then we'll get to yours today. Get them in right away to Dr. Dino Live. We'll try not to leave any hanging here. Or you can call 877-479-DINO, and we take phone calls first, instant message second, email, pretty close to never. My secretary handed me a stack of cards yesterday, though, from email questions that we'll try to get in today, if we can. All right, let's see. You can get on the program. Here we go. Fast Car for Life. We did all that. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, rabbits chewing the cud. Okay, that's a good point. He wants that on the website. I'll have to mention that to Jonathan. Yeah, somebody said the Bible has a contradiction because rabbits don't chew the cud. I said, oh, you better study this out. Okay, you better study that before you open your mouth. You better engage the brain. Chewing the cud. We've been through that on this program, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, I think so, but I forgot.
Well, the rabbits, they chew the food, swallow it, spit it out the other end, pick it up, chew it again. They re-chew that which was chewed, okay? Cows chew it, swallow it, don't put it out the other end, but they do spit it back up and chew it, so they're re-chewing that which was chewed. And so rabbits do indeed chew the cud, okay? Heaves23 is back, says, I have another question. Was the Lord in this place that was called paradise where the thief went? I would say the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He even sees all the bad. Doesn't mean he approves of it, but he sees it all, right?
Yeah.
Scary thought?
Yeah, very scary.
So, yeah, the Lord is everywhere. We're talking about how before the Lord died on the cross, people's sins were only covered, and they had to go to paradise. They didn't go to hell, but they were in paradise until Christ presented his blood to the Father. Okay? Bound to Sound wrote yesterday, if evolution is incorrect, how was mankind found in the Americas in the 1400s? How was mankind found in the Americas in the 1400s? Well, Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492 and discovered America, he said. But there were people already here. I mean, he didn't obviously discover it, okay? Somebody comes up and plants a flag in your front yard and says, hey, look what I found. I'm claiming all this property. Come out there with a shotgun and say, excuse me?
Yeah.
The Indians didn't have a shotgun was the problem, okay? I think they ought to be calling America the occupied territory. Okay, so that's another long story. I don't understand this question, Bound to Sound. If evolution is incorrect, how was mankind found in the Americas in the 1400s? Well, Noah's flood was 4,400 years ago. Okay, Columbus was about 500 years ago. So 3,900 years earlier, everybody got off the ark. And they had kids and grandkids, and they spread out around the world, which at the time had lower ocean levels because there were huge ice caps. There was ice all the way down to Kansas City, Missouri. And so that huge amount of ice would lower the ocean level a few hundred feet. And if you look at any map of the ocean floor, you'll see it's real shallow around all the continents. Continental shelf. Have you been in the Atlantic Ocean? You're from Central Florida. You've been out to the Atlantic?
Oh, yeah. Daytona Beach.
How far do you walk out before it's over your head? Drop off pretty fast?
No, not really. Like 20, 30 feet.
Yeah. We're in Pensacola. You can walk out a long ways before it's over your head. You've driven over the bridge down to Gulf Breeze, the 3-mile bridge.
Yes, I go to Calvary Chapel.
That whole bay you drive over is about 6 feet deep.
Really?
It's hard to find any place more than 6 feet deep out there.
Huh.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
You breathe with a straw.
Sure, yeah, you could. Well, you can stand on your tiptoes. You're 6'2", right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can stand on your short straw in case there's a wave comes by.
Right? Yeah.
Hope a seagull don't sit on it. All right. So I think after the flood, people spread out everywhere, and probably all but maybe real remote islands like New Zealand or Hawaii, they might be, populated. It might take them hundreds of years to get there, maybe even 1,000 years, to get there. So I would bet if you studied the islands and the continents with the real truth in mind, you would say, man, this all fits. These people are spreading out from the Bible, from the biblical flood, 4,400 years ago, and you got incredibly intelligent people living for 400 years. So the knowledge would be phenomenal, the knowledge base they would have. You could send a few of those folks into a brand new area and build an entire civilization in 5 years. It doesn't take long. They already know how to do it all.
Yeah.
You get a bunch of smart people, drop them off on a deserted island, they have all kinds of things, in just a short time. Because, they already know. So people got the whole wrong idea about what it was like after the flood. Okay. So get your questions in here to Dr. Dino Live. DrDinoLive. Did you send me one? Something's clicking here. Okay. Accept message. Yes. Got it. Okay. And then we'll get to the ones on that my secretary gave me yesterday as soon as we can. All right. Doug 1234 writes us today. First one. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Doug. You're next. We don't have all the ducks in a row here. The Black Knight 50 writes in. I met the Black Knight 50. Oh, that is Ryan. Okay. Yeah. Found another cool article. If you haven't seen this yet, it just goes to show we don't know about all the live creatures that inhabit the earth. How can we even try to make people think we know everything about the dead ones we only have bones for? Ooh, good way to put it. Oh, here's the article. Have you seen this kind of fish? Did you click on that link?
No, not yet.
It's pretty cool. Strange fish washed up on the beach. This is from loop.com. /articles/newfish.html. Very strange looking fish. I don't understand this. The long eel-like tail tapers to a narrow point. Strange fish washed up on the beach in Cayman Brac this weekend. Layman Scott found the fish walking along the beach. It's roughly 30 inches long, more than half of which is long eel-like tail. Huh. Strange fish. I don't know what that is. Okay, who's on the phone there, Albert?
We have Michael from Pennsylvania.
Hang on one second there, Michael. All right, yes, Michael, how can we help?
I just wanted to thank you for what you did this afternoon.
Well, good. I figured they wouldn't do anything about it, and you're probably, barking up the wrong tree. Is that basically what it boiled down to?
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of figured that would happen going in there, but after you hung up the phone and with guard to leave, I asked them if any one of them would like your tapes, and so I'm going to get a couple copies to them. And they seemed very interested in it, especially the one guy said, Dr. Pompiani, the guy said he's a Christian but believes in evolution. And I first tape I plan on giving him, is the debate that you did with that one guy who said he was a Christian evolutionist.
Well, I almost brought up to the guy. Was that Tony, the head of the school board that said, I'm a Christian but I believe in evolution?
He's not the head. He is a new member, but he is one of the school board members.
Yeah, I almost got I had it written on the board to say, but I didn't get enough time. I was going to say, do you notice, Tony, what you just said? I'm a Christian, but I believe in evolution. Uh-huh. Doesn't that indicate a religion? You know, you have to believe in evolution. It's not something you can know. Why don't they see that's a religion?
And you should have seen, though, my daughter's teacher, she was on the school board committee, Mrs. Parker, mm-hmm. and Mrs. Carenzo, she was the one who teaches the social studies. She was the one who read off the first page. And like I said, you guys have gone to the source that I have accused of being incorrect, and saying, yes, we've checked them. They said they're right, so we believe them.
Your point was excellent. Go to a thief, you know. Did you steal that? Of course not. Okay, he said he didn't steal it. You know?
That's all the evidence we need.
That was.
Oh, put that stuff down. You need help with that, taking it to your car?
That was classic. Well, here's the problem. There is an evil world system out there that Satan seems to be, you know, in charge of. And the Bible says they delight in lies. You know, their whole point was, you know, hey, we approved this. We checked it. And we approved it. We followed the standards. Well, the fact is, the canyon is still not billions of years old. The top is still 4,000 feet higher than where it enters the river, where it enters the canyon. They didn't address your points at all, did they?
No, they just kept saying, we've checked with all these experts, and they say the book is great. Everybody else in the state uses it, so we think we should too.
Well, when the Apostle Paul got done presenting the truth as he preached around the Mediterranean Sea there, he got three results. Some believed, some laughed at him, and some said, man, I'm going to go home and think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get the same three results of what you did today, Michael. Some are going to believe, some are going to laugh, and some are going to think about it.
I just hope some of them don't try and kill me like they tried to do him.
Well, he had to leave cities quite often, didn't he? Paul, he traveled a lot trying to avoid those guys. All right. Well, good. Well, I appreciate that. Keep me posted. I predict nothing will happen. But
well, my biggest agenda, I knew, in my opinion, I knew I was going to go in there and lose going in.
That's right. Hey, we got a break, Michael. Hang on to the break, can you?
All righty.
We'll be back in a minute, folks. Doesn't? Yeah, they all introduced themselves. I wrote down some of the names. And you asked me if I would be on the phone by speakerphone while you went in to talk to them, and they agreed to let that happen, and I really appreciate that. You need to follow up now, Michael, with a letter and start off positive. Okay, I think most of your interaction with them has probably left a negative taste in their mouth because you are very passionate about this, and you should be, but you know it's not going to work to reach them that way. If you followed up with a letter and said, thank you for letting me speak to the board. Number two, thank you for letting Ken Hovind speak to the board. Okay. Number three, I still have a few questions I would like answered. And then just simply ask them questions, nothing else, and ask them to respond in writing to your questions. Here are some of the questions I would ask them. Since the top of Grand Canyon is 4,000 feet higher than where the river enters the canyon, how did the river start carving this canyon? And just see what they do with it.
Uh-huh.
You ever played tennis or ping pong or badminton or any of those games?
Yeah.
Okay. All of those games are won. The rules are basically the same in all of them. If you end up with the ball in your court, you lose. Right?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you keep putting it back over the net, it's now you're winning. Okay? So if you just keep asking them questions, and when they stop responding, they lose. I would ask them a question. Does this book present the majority opinion in America that the Earth is 6,000 years old? Question. They will have to admit, no, this book does not present the majority, right?
Correct.
You know? Is it possible to know scientifically, and emphasize the word know, that the Grand Canyon is billions of years old? Question. You know, just think up to 8 or 10 questions like that and say, you know, since we have petrified trees standing up connecting all these layers, is it logical to teach our students that these layers are different ages?
Unfortunately, they limited me to just what was in the book, and when you started talking about the petrified trees, they're all scrambling through their notes trying to figure out what you were talking about, And I think that's when one of them interrupted and said, "You just talk about the social studies book, not the science."
Sure, yeah.
But then in the one part it says talk about the Grand Canyon. Oh, I got it here right quick. It says something about the science of, turn the page over, here we go. Links to science. That's where he talked about this. The notes that I sent you and that they had was from the teacher's book. And they said the students are free to discuss, you know, discuss the matter. And that's when I told them, like I said, 9-year-olds, all they want to do is go play. You know, they want to get done with the class and go to recess, go to lunch.
Right.
And they're not going to question much anything the teachers say because they believe the teacher is being the wise person. That's why they call him the teacher. And then he mentioned something about the curriculum connection on the bottom of every one of those issues we were talking about. And I don't know if you were still on the phone or not, and I said, you know, links to science. Explain to the students that the Grand Canyon contains layers of rock that are over a billion years old.
Yeah, it doesn't say, you know, let's discuss this, kids. It just says, you know, this is the way it is. It's dogmatic.
Make sure you emphasize that this is it. I said, this guy is not showing no opinion. He is trying to, you know, make sure the teacher tells them that it's millions of years old.
I know. Well, hopefully some it'll soak in. You would pray that tonight, when they, you know, before they can go to bed, it's going to really eat at them and think, you know, this guy's right.
I hope so. But like I said, my main purpose was to hope to get down there to maybe reach one or two and and see what they could do. But like I said, you should have seen some of the looks on their faces. And I've been a father for 9 years, and I've been a son for 41 years. And I can see when somebody's angry. I saw the veins pop out of my dad's head when he got mad at me and his face turned red.
Oh, yeah.
I saw my daughter's school principal, Dr. Morey, his bald head got flaming red and veins started popping out. And I said, that's exactly what you did. You went to the source that I said was incorrect and asked them if it is correct. That's like asking the thief if he's a burglar or not. And
that was great. I'm going to use that one.
And I could say, oh, if looks could kill.
Yep.
But well, nice. I really appreciated that your great help there. And like I said, I plan on giving them some of your tapes. And like I said, hopefully I can reach one or two of them.
Well, good. You know, salt preserves from corruption. But corruption is constantly trying to come back in. If you get a piece of meat and lay it out in the yard, it's going to rot. Now, if you cover it with salt, it will not rot. I mean, they used to pack meat in barrels with salt and keep them for years. Salt pork. Sailors would carry it on ships for years. Okay, you have a corrupt system that you are trying to preserve, and I applaud you for it. It needs to be done, and we need thousands more to do what you're doing. But don't think you're going to have to do this again next month and every month for the rest of your life. Salt cannot ever give up. Corruption will set in automatically as soon as the salt gives up.
Well, I asked them at the school board, why are you trying to bury me in paperwork? And the superintendent of the school board, he was not there this afternoon, but he said, we're not trying to. You got the form, you filled it out, you're going through the proper channel. I said, yes, but do I have to do this for every single book in the library and in each grade going on? In my letter that I sent to them, I told them that I went into the school library there, and the sections labeled 561 to 561.9, dinosaurs and geology and stuff, I said should be relabeled fairy tale section. Take it out of the science book, the science area of the library, and put it in the fairy tale section.
I bet they love that.
And I told them, you know, I was there for 5 minutes and found 20-25 books, and I wasn't even looking very hard. He said, you're going to keep me busy the rest of my life doing paperwork, and that's just in the fourth grade. I've already looked at my neighbor's fifth grade science book, and you can't even get in the first paragraph. It talks about the Earth being 3.5 billion years old. that's one of the issues why the old school board, half of them got voted out in November, because they wanted to spend all the money on a football stadium instead of getting the new science curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you remember hearing, she said every 7 years we go through this curriculum cycle for each subject matter, science, English, and the math and stuff. Well, the science curriculum was supposed to have been done last year. They're just now getting on it. And that's what I said. I am not going to sit back and wait until they get the textbooks. I'm going to fight before they get them in there and start complaining now.
Sure.
Now and complain about the ones they already have and why they haven't done anything about it.
Well, I don't expect a victory, but you need to keep doing what you're doing anyway, because
yeah.
It just needs to be done for the good of the other. Here's what will happen. If you keep complaining, keep going before them, they're going to be afraid to teach evolution as long as you're around. Okay? And as soon as you disappear, then they're going to go right back to it. So, in the meantime, hey, you're doing your job. That's what salt does. Salt preserves.
Well, I told them there at the school board, and I said, I would like to know, I can prevent you from teaching this to my daughter. Why can I not stop you from teaching it to the rest of the kids? I do not think every one of the parents of the 6,500 kids in the 6,500 kids in the school district, their parents should have to come down there and complain one at a time. If you find one truth, one fact that I prove correct, there's no reason why anybody else should have to come down here and tell you the same thing.
Yep. Okay. All right, brother.
I'm concerned with all the kids, not
Hang
just
on.
Mine.
I got break. You keep me posted on the progress up there, okay?
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
folks. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Get your questions in. We'll get on those right after the break. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Only an hour left now if you get your questions in here. We're the folks who believe the Bible is true. Evolution is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. Who you got there? Who are you, Albert?
Eric from Michigan.
Eric from Michigan. Go ahead, Eric.
How you doing,
hey,
Dr. Hoven?
I'm getting old, but I'm going to make it.
I hope so.
I'm going to make dying the last things I'm going to do, you know?
Yeah. Last night at church, I've got a class going at church on your material now.
Okay.
And it's going really well, actually. And we were going through video number 5, and we got into the part where you discuss the things that went on with Pope John Paul II, I believe, with the World War II, and he was selling cyanide to the Nazis and...
Right.
And all that. And after the video, we kind of had a discussion, and a couple of people that I guess are a little bit sensitive to the Catholic religion and have a little bit of history with that were a little outspoken on that. And one of them flat out said that just was absolutely not true, and he knew 100% that that was just simply not true, and he was... very disappointed with you going there and all this other stuff. And I didn't really want the discussion to kind of go in that direction, but I wanted to address that with you and kind of, get your take on that again and see if you can reiterate any facts on that for me so maybe, I can present maybe a different angle to him, or because, I don't want to necessarily get anybody into a big argument over it, but... I think he had a fair argument anyhow.
I just went to Google and typed in 2 words, Pope and cyanide, and got 97,000 hits in 0.67 seconds, okay?
Uh-huh.
There is an enormous amount of material about the fact that Pope John Paul was in Poland selling cyanide to the Nazis. Now, does that mean that makes him evil and wicked? Not necessarily. I mean, everybody has to have a job, and maybe he just happens to be... Maybe he didn't know what they were using it for.
Okay.
I didn't say anything. All I said was, that's what he did during World War II.
Right. And I didn't know for sure, what angle you were coming at that from. And he, the guy that was questioning this, you know, he was even, you know, offering that idea that maybe, you know, if he was doing something like that, he certainly wasn't doing it on purpose. And I think he just got the impression that you were, you know, trying to imply that he was, you know, in cahoots with the Nazis, and he just, you know, loved the fact that he was, you know, doing this horrible thing. And I didn't get the feeling that that's what you were saying, but...
Well, no, let me read. The first website that came up is WIOLAWAPRESS, WAPRESS. Let's see, WIOLAWAPRESS.com.
Okay.
And slash Nazi, N-A-Z-I, Pope, P-O-P-E, Nazi Pope dot H-T-M.
Okay.
And it says, and I'm reading here, by the way, the author of the book, William Cooper, Edgar Arizona, who wrote the book Behold a Pale Horse, exposing some of this stuff, he was assassinated.
Okay.
Two years ago. Here's what it says. In the early 1940s, the IG Farben Chemical Company employed a Polish salesman who sold cyanide to the Nazis for use in Auschwitz. The same salesman also worked as a chemist in the manufacture of the poison gas. This same cyanide gas, along with Zyklon B and malathion, was used to exterminate millions of Jews and other groups. After the war, the salesman, fearing for his life, joined the Catholic Church and was ordained a priest in 1946. The salesman became Poland's youngest bishop in 1958. I mean, there are dozens of accounts that would say this is what he did. And again,
okay.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I don't think I made any comment on it. I just simply said that's what Pope John Paul did during World War II. So
okay. If
someone can refute that, I would like to see it. But I've never seen anyone who can see. I've had many people say, well, yeah, of course he worked selling, you know, chemicals. They always say he sold chemicals. They don't say what it was.
Right.
Yeah, he sold chemicals during the war. What's wrong with selling stuff, you know?
Right. Okay.
He did.
So then, yeah, okay. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. I'm going to see. He was supposed to possibly find some research from his point of view, and I'll get that if I can and present that to you. So is there anything that you could recommend for me to sort of say, maybe on your behalf, or just something that would be good to say in the next class, just to maybe address this issue and maybe kind of, bring it to a close in a peaceful way? Or
sure. Well, go to Google, type in the words Pope, space, cyanide. Copy some information and say, folks, as far as I can tell, Mr. Hovind was right.
Okay.
This is what the Pope did. Now, if that bothers you, I'm sorry, okay?
Right.
Now, it's not my fault he did that. I wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
Why should we not be allowed to point that out?
Right. Absolutely. I absolutely agree. If that's what happened, then
it's just history, period.
That is the history. So yeah. I can confidently say that you were not attacking the Pope, but you were just simply trying to point out a...
I was not attacking the Pope. However, I would be glad to attack the Pope if they would like.
Okay. I'm sure you would.
There are thousands of things I would strongly disagree with the Pope about.
Yeah.
And the Catholic Church in general.
As would I. But I just wanted to sort of keep the discussions more on the, you know, the core topics. And that just, I didn't necessarily want that thing to go out of control, but I did want to kind of get your take on it.
Yeah, and I would ask the person this question. I would say, is this really what bothers you about Kent Hovind's teachings? Or is this an excuse for you to reject other things he is saying because it's, you know, maybe cramping your lifestyle a little bit? Because I pick on just about every sin in the book.
Yeah, I know you do.
Okay. So some people are looking desperately for an excuse to shut me up or, you know, discount me or discredit me, you know.
Right. Well, one thing I noticed is that he was very receptive to everything you were saying up to that point, and... I don't know if if it's something that only I've noticed, but I have noticed that some Catholic people that I've been in contact with seem to go on the defense very easily and kind of they can oftentimes get kind of vicious. I don't know if that's something that you've noticed.
Oh, yeah, happens all the time. That's probably predictable. But did I say something wrong would be the question to ask.
Right, okay.
The question is not, do you like what I said?
Yeah.
Is it true? Is it true? Period.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Right?
I'll go back with those thoughts in mind.
And tell them to call into the program. Be glad to talk to them.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, you can be on the phone here. Our one and only phone line is open, 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466, extension 136. Okay, here we go. Doug, 1243. You've been waiting a long time. Sorry about that. He wrote in and says, I listed to the Science and Bible series. I think you mean listened, okay? Made in 98, I think, because I like to watch different seminars of yours from different times just to compare and keep my faith strong and stuff. And I was wondering, how come you don't use the following argument anymore? Quote, the magnetic field is decaying. The magnetic field prevents formation of C14 in the atmosphere. C14 is formed by striking the atmosphere, by radiation striking the atmosphere, I believe I said. If the magnetic field were stronger, less C14 was formed, and so an animal that lived 5,000 years ago automatically had less C14 in it because there was less for him to ingest and will look like it's 50,000 years old. No, I still use that argument. It's on video number one. Still a very valid argument. And the fact is the magnetic field's weakening, which allows more radiation in, and that's what forms C14. By the way, after World War II and all the nuclear testing that was going on, the C14 in the atmosphere went nuts. I mean, it's crazy, the spikes they had. So I don't think there's multiple reasons why. It's just not possible to use carbon dating to test the age of anything. We cover that thoroughly on video 7. But no, Doug, I still do use that and still think it's a valid point. Okay? Here we go. Dr. Dino, please comment on human ears evolved from ancient fish gills. I don't think human ears evolved from ancient fish gills, Albert.
I don't either.
You don't either?
No, I just had to send you that, though.
Okay, here it is. Livescience.com. I would say this is livereligion.com, not Alive Science. Here's the same guy again. B-J-O-R-N, Bjorn Carey, C-A-R-E-Y, Live Science staff writer. Today, at 12:30 in the morning. This guy wrote this last night after midnight, okay? He says, your ability to hear relies on a structure that got its start as a gill opening in a fish, a new study reveals. Humans and other land animals have special bones in their ears that are crucial to hearing. I agree. Scientific statement. Ancient fish use similar structures to breathe underwater. Oh, I disagree. They might be in the same location, like the side of the head, but you don't know that it's a similar structure to the bones in the ear. Scientists had thought the evolutionary change occurred after animals had established themselves on land, but a new look at an old fossil suggests ear development was set into motion before any creatures crawled out of the water. This guy cannot be serious that the gills of a fish evolved to the bones of the ear. Ah, you got it. How can these people drive down the highway? I don't understand that. I'm going to have to give that a qualified, you have got to be kidding. You can't really believe that. Man. Anyway, thank you for sending me the article. okay. Next, who's on the phone there? Albert.
Steve from Ohio.
Steve from Ohio. Yes, Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, sir. I just wanted to top off on that that article about the fish ears evolving.
Sure.
One that you just read about. I showed that to some workers, or coworkers of mine, and we all started laughing. It was really funny, but I actually came home, and I've seen all your videos, and I think they're outstanding, and they really strengthen everybody's faith. I've sent many of your stuff to family members and everybody. But just knowing what I know, it was really funny looking at that article. But I actually emailed the guy back, and then I emailed him about the article and told him that we were all laughing at it and how could he believe it and this, that, and the other. And he sent back the Vatican newspaper denounces intelligent design, and that was his only response he gave through the email.
What does that have to do with your question to him?
Exactly. So I shot him an email back and said, what does that have to do with anything? I'm not Catholic.
Wow. We'll see.
But anyway, I just wanted to let you know I really appreciate everything that you do for the Lord. The stuff that you've given me and how I've shared it with family and everybody has just been fantastic. And,
well, good.
It really gives a good foot in the door to start talking to people, to get them to start realizing some of the things that are actually going on.
Awesome.
And where it comes from. But, you know, that's one of the things, though, in school, you know, it always, when you grow up and you see all that stuff going on in the school system, and even if you have faith, it always makes you kind of shaky, and it's really sad to see that it is so embedded in our school systems today.
Well, Satan is a master at raising doubts.
Oh, definitely.
And you heard the story about the spider and the centipede, Aesop's fables?
No, I haven't.
Fascinating. Aesop, 2,000 years ago or whatever it was, had great lessons. The spider wanted to eat the centipede, but every time the spider got close enough to strike, the centipede would take off.
Mm-hmm.
So the spider was walking up one day, and the centipede's about to take off, and the spider said, wait, 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 can I please ask you just one question? The centipede said, well, sure, one question. The spider said, with all of the legs that you have, when you get ready to run away from me, which leg do you move first? And the centipede couldn't figure it out, and the spider jumped on him and ate him. Okay? Just raise those doubts, Satan is a master at getting people just to doubt, is this really God's word? That's the first sentence he said to Eve. Yea, hath God said. Always questioning God's word.
Right.
So, but the Lord's going to stop that one of these days.
No, definitely.
That's going to be cool. I got to see that.
Definitely. But yeah, like I said, though, with your videos, a friend of mine sent them to me when I first got saved a couple of months after that, actually. But it's really a faith-strengthening thing that, it really, I mean, the funny thing is you have the ability to make this really, what most people think is very complex. You have a real good ability of how to break it down to where a kindergartner can understand it. And the funny thing is, I've seen a lot of your debates and everything, and I think they're hysterical, and I think you slam every one of those professors that are out there. It makes me laugh every time I watch them. But they just circle around about nothing. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that they stay on. They just dabble a little bit here, dabble a little bit there, but they can't explain any of that stuff how you can. You can take something and explain it within, 15 to 20 seconds. And it gets on them, and you're like, it's like Charlie Brown when he's listening to his teachers that wah, 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 wah.
Right.
they don't make any sense.
I know. Awesome. Well, hey,
anyway, I'll let you go. I thank you so much for what you do, though.
Something else to pray about. We just sent off an email this morning to O'Reilly. He's asking for 6 people to debate him on a topic of their choosing. So I challenged O'Reilly to debate me on the subject of creation evolution on the O'Reilly Factor.
That's fantastic. I was just actually talking to some friends about that the other day, thinking, it would be really great if Dr. Holman got on O'Reilly.
Well, that's not a guarantee I'm going to get on, but we sent it off this morning, so I'll be praying about that.
Right, that's fantastic.
All right, thanks
a lot.
Thank
you, sir.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, you can join us on the program. Anybody believes that a fish gill turned into a human ear needs help? And his response was, the Pope says intelligent design's not any good.
I sent you that article, too.
I know. Albert, you're getting, that's worth a raise, almost. Okay, we'll get you a taller chair. Okay, here we go. Yosarian writes in and says, Dr. Ovin, do you feel there is any significance with the Mayan calendar ending in 2012? And is it true they found Roman artifacts in the Americas? Do you know anything about this? Thanks. God bless. Well, first of all, my understanding is that it is correct. The Mayan calendar ends in the year 2012. And there have been people who's, that's in 6 years.
Yeah.
There have been many folks who have suggested through the years that, the world comes to an end in 2012. I have no clue. Could be.
We'll find out.
I'm not going to charge up my, credit cards and sell all my clothes and go stand on a mountain, okay, and say, okay, Lord, now come, now, please, I'm getting cold, Lord, come now, Don't do that. I have no clue when the Lord's coming. I'm hoping it's soon, but I would say, keep working until he comes. As far as Roman artifacts in America, that is exactly correct. There is a guy named T.W. Bent, B-E-N-T, that found all kinds of Roman artifacts buried in Tucson, Arizona, back in 25, somewhere in there. Many of them, I think actually maybe all of them, but certainly most of them, are on display at a museum at the university. No, it's downtown. I was there a couple years ago. Downtown Tucson, Arizona. It's all covered on my videotape number one, I think. I've only got 6,000 slides in there.
Okay.
But, oh, and I know, and it's covered on video number 7 where I talk about was ancient man primitive. No, video 3 I covered also. I mention it, video 3, because I talk about man and dinosaurs living together. Seminar part 3 of our award-winning video series, which you can get the entire 17-hour seminar for $99. Just call the office, 877-479-DINO. Actually, normally, you have to call the office, you know, before 5 o'clock. However, my secretary, Glenda, is sitting out there at her desk, and she would be surprised out of her wits if all of a sudden her phone rang, because the phone doesn't ring at her desk. So call 877-479-DINO, and then go to extension 110. And say, hey, Glenda, I want to order some tapes. She'll say, oh, okay.
She comes walking in the door right now.
Yep. Probably listening to the program. Anyways, you can order a series of $99 for the whole seminar, 17 hours covering all kinds of things. But yeah, I held in my hand the Roman sword found in Tucson, Arizona. I went there, saw the artifacts myself, and got a picture of me holding the sword. It has a dinosaur carved on it. The Romans were over here 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years before Columbus. Columbus didn't discover America, okay? Lots of folks came over here. Of course, people were here when he got here, so obviously he didn't discover it. But Brendan the Navigator from Ireland came over to America in 500 A.D. Apparently, King Solomon's navy traded across the ocean because Hebrew artifacts are found in America. Some Hebrew coins were found in an Indian burial mound in Ohio. We cover all that in video 7. That's why you need the whole series. We'll be back after the break, folks. Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert. Another way they call me, Dr. Dynamic Dr. Dynamic.
Yeah, Dynamic Dr.
And we're live here. What is this?
January 19th. 2006.
And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Or call us. That was it. Or instant messages.
Dr. Dino.
Brain fate. Dr. Dino live. D-R-D-I-N-O-L-I-V. Here we go. A hippie writes in. Let's see. Roman artifacts answered. Okay. Hippie says, besides the fact that there is no evidence for macroevolution, i.e. primates changing to humans, is there any evidence against it? That's a tough way to ask a question. Evidence against it. If I said, what evidence is there against, you know, dogs producing, you know, hamsters?
It's obvious.
How about the fact it's never happened, you know? There's no observation. It doesn't happen. See, the way science works, science is the accumulation of knowledge that man has gained by observation, experimentation, and testing. Okay, what we've observed so far is dogs produce dogs.
That's all I've ever seen.
That's all. We had puppies that are around our place, and they grew up, and then they had puppies. And I bet, I didn't see it, but I bet it went on again.
I'd almost guarantee it.
Okay. And I bet they came from a dog. You could probably go back long ways, and it was still dog.
Like 6,000 years.
Yeah. So what would cause us to believe that it was ever anything other than that? And if somebody believes it was other than that, then why don't they understand that that's a religion, not a science? Simple to me. I don't get it. I don't understand how they don't see it, you know? Okay. So, I don't know. I would guess the evidence against evolution is the total lack of evidence for it. That's simple enough to me. Okay, here we go. Red Mama?
Mm-hmm.
Red Mama 92. Right, Sim. Take her out of the sun, man. What is your take on Christians and tattoos and piercings? Well, I can read you the only verse I'm aware of in the Bible that deals with the topic, okay? Leviticus 19:28. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28 says, Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. So, since we are he's the Lord and we are, you know, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I guess we can say from this verse, and even though it's Old Testament, Leviticus 19:28, that obviously shows God's opinion, you know, and he's the Lord, he changes not. So I think unless we get real clear leadership, we could say that probably applies today. That's still God's opinion. He still doesn't like putting marks upon you because you belong to him. Leviticus 19:28. Yes, sir, who's on the phone there, Albert?
We got Ryan.
Ryan, yes, sir, Ryan. Go ahead.
Hi, I have a couple of questions today.
All right.
My first one is about a place called Paradise that you mentioned yesterday that was in the Bible. It's like when the thief on the cross, when Jesus is telling the thief on the cross that day, you'll be with me in paradise.
Correct.
I heard you talk about, you mentioned like Abraham's bosom, like where does it talk about paradise, that place called paradise in the Bible? Like, I know that you said it's different from heaven, so I was wondering where it talks about the place called paradise in the Bible.
In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told the rich man, or told Lazarus, you know, the story is told about the rich man and Lazarus, okay?
Yeah.
I'm looking up here. Let me find out here. Rich man. Yeah, Luke chapter 16, verse number 1. It's the whole parable here. It's not a parable. It's an actual story. Parables never have names in them, proper names. If it names the person, this is George or Sam or Pete, it's not a parable. It's a story.
Okay.
Okay. So Luke 16 is the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man had all kinds of good food and everything else, and the beggar sat at his gate, and the beggar died, right?
Yeah.
And the rich man died. Anyway, they both ended up where they could see each other and talk to each other, and starting in verse 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate for sores, and the dog came and licked his sores, okay? And you can read the whole story yourself, so here we have, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water. And let's see, does it mention the word paradise in that chapter? I don't see it in that chapter, but I think you'll find most Bible scholars would agree that paradise found three times in the Bible. Luke 23:43. When Jesus said to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 12:4, the Apostle Paul said, he knew a man 14 years ago, such an one caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which are not lawful for man to utter.
So that would be different. He was caught up in paradise, which that wouldn't be heaven then.
I think that would be heaven. I think the Old Testament paradise was in the center of the earth until Christ died.
Oh, until Christ. Okay, so you're saying that those people that died before Christ died went to paradise and not heaven?
Correct, because their sins were not cleansed, they were only covered. The blood of animals could never wash away their sins, it could only cover them from God's sight. So when God looked down, he saw the blood on the doorpost or saw the blood on the mercy seat. You know, when he sees the blood, he passes over.
Yeah.
Just like I can spill grape juice on the carpet, and then I can cover it up with a throw rug, but the stain is still there.
Okay.
It's covered, but it's not cleansed. That's the difference. See, the blood of Christ cleanses us where the blood of the animals would simply cover. So they could not go to heaven.
Okay, I see.
They could only go to paradise. It's not like it's purgatory where you're burning off your sins. I mean, you're saved. You're saved. He's enjoying. Lazarus was comforted, the Bible says.
And what about the rich man? He was like, do you think he was in...
It says he was in torment. He lifted up his eyes being in torments.
So he wasn't, was that in hell? But because you said he could see the poor man in paradise.
Correct.
So.
There was a great gulf fixed between them. He could see him. He could talk to him. They could respond. He just couldn't get to him.
Okay, so then where would that rich man be? You think he was in hell? I mean, then somehow he could just see up?
No, they're both in the center of the earth.
Okay, so...
Just a gulf. But paradise is... Jesus said, there's going to be no sign given this generation but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus went down to paradise.
And then... Okay, I still have a... I'm still kind of mixed up about where the rich man was. He was in torment, but you're saying he wasn't in torment. He wasn't being tormented in hell. He was just in torment.
No, he was being tormented in hell. Hell is in the center of the earth also. But see, just like paradise was a temporary place until Jesus died on the cross, and now they go to heaven. Okay, yeah. There are two places, paradise and then heaven. Yeah. There are two places for the damned, for the lost. The first one is hell. They go there until the judgment day, and then they're cast into the lake of fire. Revelation says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So it's just like if a person commits a crime, you go murder somebody, they pick you up, they throw you in jail.
Yeah.
Until the trial. After the trial, they send you to prison.
Yeah. Okay.
Jail is designed for temporary holding, never more than a year. Prison is for permanent holding.
Yeah.
Hell is for temporary holding until judgment day, and then the lake of fire is the permanent place.
Oh, so you're saying that the lake of fire is different from hell.
Oh, absolutely. It says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Has to be different.
If the lake of fire, even you just assume it's even worse than hell, then?
Yeah, I would assume it's worse, and as I would assume it's not the same place.
Okay. Okay, well, I guess that covers my other question. Because my other question, I've been reading a lot, and I've been reading verses in the Bible that seem to indicate that nobody has gone to heaven yet. But what you just, I guess the place called paradise, I guess that would cover my question, because let's see here. In John 3:13, Jesus said that no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So I guess he would be right, because people who weren't in heaven back then, they would go straight to paradise, right?
Yeah, he had not died yet when he said that.
Okay.
So at that time, that is correct. Nobody had gone to heaven. They'd all gone to paradise to await his blood being shed on the cross.
Oh, and then after, okay. And then, so your position is that when people die, like in this age, then they go to heaven.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
The Lord.
First Corinthians somewhere.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Hey, call anytime. All right, folks, you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or 850-479-DINO. Here we go. Where did I leave off? Man, I'm never going to get Albert.
We've had a lot of calls today.
And a lot of instant messages. Okay, yeah. Here we go. Tattoos and piercings. Okay, Jesse Gigi writes in, regarding the fellow who spoke to his school board with you on the speakerphone, he might also remind his school board that regardless of what the book publisher says about accuracy, state law may require the materials to be accurate. Jesse Gordon. Good point. If a publisher says, my math book is accurate, and you go through and find where it says 2 plus 2 is 5, well, the fact is, he may think it's accurate, and there might have been 50 people check it. But they missed it. I've got a picture of a book somewhere here that shows the equator going through Florida. There was a history textbook. I don't know if I have it in the library here. It said Abraham Lincoln was George Washington's vice president. Okay? They just don't catch them all, folks. Okay? There's a group of folks that catch most of them, though, called textbookreviews.org. And they're good Christian folks and do a great job. Send them some money. Support them. They need your help. But they've been doing it for 40-some years, reviewing textbooks in Longview, Texas. Textbookreviews.org. Mel Gabler started it, just died this last year. I think his wife Norma is still alive. I don't know. But anyway, they've just done an awesome job for years reviewing textbooks. So textbookreviews.org. Trust me, they do not catch all the mistakes. Okay. Next one, Casio17. Dr. Adino has convinced me that God exists, but how do I know Jesus is who he says he is to be? Okay. You got a call there?
Yep.
Okay, let me take Casio. Hang in there. We'll get you right after the call. Who's on the phone there, Albert?
Jonathan from Alabama.
Jonathan from Alabama. Yes, sir, Jonathan.
Hey, Kent. You called me earlier. I'm the same Jonathan.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I talked with you earlier. I'd let you know, we do have some people out here on Pal Talk that have some questions for you.
Okay.
Out here, we have a little audience here in our room that is listening to your show right now, and I have to take off my headphones or I'll hear myself echoing.
No problem. This is a chat room you do, right?
Yes. This is our chat room session. We have some people in here that were wondering some things. First of all, Kent, what I don't know if you've checked it out yet. I know some sites eventually disappear and just some just stay around for years, whether or not they've been refuted or corrected, and people just don't care about them. Have you ever seen Boudicca's 300 Lives of Kent Hovind?
Yes.
You have?
I answered about 20 of them. It started off, I don't know how long, I don't think it started off 300.
Okay.
I think I answered most of them, actually, on the videotape series that my son and I did, Dr. Hovind Answers His Critics. Boudicca refused to tell me his name for a long time. He kept remaining, because I kept saying...
Yeah, they'll do that.
I said, I don't know who Boudicca is. I said, look, in America, you get the right to face your accusers. You're accusing me of lying.
Okay.
Who are you? I don't know what state you're in, but I go all over the world. I'll debate you anytime. I'll answer all these questions publicly. Or call into my radio program. He never would. Still never has. He still has never called in.
So that's one of those sites that just sits there since, like, the year 2000 that never disappears. Okay.
Right. And he finally, somebody found out, somebody told me his name is Ian Wood, I think.
Okay.
I don't care. You know.
All right.
I tell people, I'm not going to sit here. If I answered those 300 questions,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't faze him. He would come up with 300 more.
Right.
So it's a pure waste of time. Like, Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War was getting just mountains of critical mail.
Mm-hmm.
He never answered. One of his cabinet members says, President, why don't you answer your critics?
Mm-hmm.
He said, folks,
right.
there's a war going on. If I took time to answer the critics, I wouldn't. That's all we would do.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't get the war won. History will show whether I was right or wrong. I think that was. I take Lincoln's approach. If Boudicca, Ian Wood, or whatever his name is, or any other critic wants to call in, I'll be honored. I do this 90 minutes every day for 2 years.
Yeah.
I make myself real available.
Right.
I speak 900 times a year at schools and universities and churches. I always have a question-answer time where anybody can ask any questions.
Okay.
So if some of Boudicca's 300 lies bother you, pick a few and let me answer them now. Cold off the cuff.
All right. Well, the next, the next question here somebody had put was whether or not, I think you had made a comment a few minutes ago, whether or not you follow the Torah or if you just Ten Commandments.
The Torah is the equivalent to the first five books of the Old Testament.
Right, with all their 600 dietary laws.
613 laws.
Right.
If I was Jewish and we were still under that law, I certainly would. I am Norwegian and we're still not under that law, so no, I do not. I think the laws are given because God doesn't change and they're good advice. It's still, you know, good advice not to eat pork, but bacon tastes so good.
It does.
I'm glad I'm Norwegian. Go ahead.
Okay. The next one was from our people here. What is the connection, or if you could elaborate on it? Some people haven't necessarily heard all the videos. They're just in the room right now listening. What is the connection between the powers that be, granted whatever label they may throw on them, like a good old generic NWO name? What is the connection between that and evolution, what they're pushing in the schools? What is their agenda?
I don't know that I could point to a smoke-filled room and say, here are the people that are doing this. I think the conspiracy, if you want to call it that, is a much higher level than even most people understand. It is Satan versus God. That's where the smoke-filled room is. Okay. Now, there are all kinds of people involved in pushing toward a one-world government, one-world religion, one-world language, you know, the GATT treaty, you know, the NAFTA treaty. All of this stuff is only steps toward a much bigger goal of one-world government. And it goes back to what the Bible said 2,000 years ago, the love of money is the root of all evil. There are some really wealthy people who have already got it in their little brain how the world ought to run. In their mind, there should be a couple of hundred super rich bazillionaire rulers of the world, and everybody else should be their slaves and work, be their rice farmers.
Okay? Yeah.
I mean, that's their ideal world, is you work and they get the money. Everybody wants to coast on somebody else's labor. That's kind of the history of humanity, you know.
Right.
I'm too lazy to work for it, so I'm going to come steal yours. You know, wars are fought that way. Thieves do that kind of stuff. I mean, this is the history and the nature of man to try to, you know, get our comforts at somebody else's expense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically the bottom line philosophy for this New World Order, these guys who want to control the world. We have a break here. We'll be back in a minute and a half. Answer that when we come back, okay?
Okay.
Hey, thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
have something in my hand I think you should own. And I'm not going to try to tell you that you don't already have it, but you, I am confident, do not have it all in one piece, like you would if you owned a copy of the Citizen's Rulebook. Do you have a copy? Well, this is in your shirt pocket, full force research at your fingertips, having to do with how to behave as a juror, the Constitution itself, the resources in here are just tremendous. And I'll be glad to send you a copy of this if you'll send me enough for postage plus a dollar. Whatever you want to contribute to Truth Radio, I'll send you a copy of the Truth of the Citizen's Rulebook. Just get back to me at Post Office Box 344, Napomo, California, 93444, and it will be coming your way.
Once there were two employees. Frank worked from home.
Ah, die, you space gum!
Hello.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Bob also worked from home.
No, no, Carol, don't kill him. That's your husband, not the imposter.
Both Bob and Frank realized they were stealing time from the company. Bob thought,
you know, I should do some work. Nah, one more episode. They'll never find out.
But Frank went to his boss.
Sir?
Yes, Frank?
I have a confession to make.
When the president found out both Bob and Frank had wasted company time, who do you think got fired?
Mr. President, Frank talked to me about what he did. I promised him we'd work it out.
Okay, but fire Bob. Like Bob and Frank, we have all done wrong and are subject to God's judgment. Have you gone to God about your wrongs? Or like Bob, are you hoping he won't notice?
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live.
January 19th.
Of 06. All right. You can join us at 877-479-DINO, extension 136. And we have to say this every time. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And we're glad you've joined us on the program. Let's see. Jonathan, still there?
Yes.
Okay. You asked about the connection between New World Order and evolution. There are people who want to have a one-world government, and they themselves are calling it the New World Order. George Bush, very involved in this. Bill Clinton, I don't know if he's smart enough to get involved in it or not, but I suspect he is. Maybe just a puppet. But, yeah, Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and said to Eve, "Ye shall be as gods." And, of course, we would assume the concept of God would include, you know, you're in charge, you're the boss, everybody waits on you instead of, you know, you waiting on them. So there are people who really think it'd be best if, you know, there was a one world government, new world order, and Satan is using this evolution theory that, you know, man is God and humanism, basically we decide right and wrong, we control the universe. that's what humanism is all about, that man is God. The founding fathers of this country had a totally different philosophy. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator with certain rights. I think it's real obvious if anybody reads the Federalist Papers or the Constitution or any of the, you know, early documents, these guys believed in a creator and that rights came from the creator, whereas the opposite view is communism / socialism / humanism, which all teach, no, there's no creator. Man is God, and we decide what's right and wrong, as opposed to there being an absolute standard. God decides right and wrong. So my take on it is that the evolution theory is the foundation philosophy for these people who are wanting a one-world government, new world order. Is that too long of an answer?
No, that fits just right.
Okay,
that's,
go ahead.
That's just right there. The next question somebody had here, the PM, did you know anything or have you ever found anything regarding, there's been some stories, maybe they could have just been, you know, old age rumors or something like that, regarding Paul having ever traveled to South America?
I've never heard such a story. I do believe some of the early disciples may have made it there. I doubt Paul did. He was pretty busy around the Mediterranean and ended up getting killed in Rome. So I do believe some of the disciples, I think there certainly are stories about, I believe it was Thomas or one of the disciples getting to India. Mm-hmm. There were all kinds of Christian-type things found in different parts of the country, different parts of the world. I've got a couple of books here. Leah, can you find those about strange cities in South America? Aren't they at the top shelf, second, right above? Hidden cities of South America, hidden cities of... there's a group called the World Explorer Club, wexclub.com, wexclub.com. No, these are big books, Leah. They're, right back there by your stomach, hey, down three shelves. Kind of a bright green lettering. Toward me, 1 foot, keep coming, keep right there. Hand me that one. There's a whole series of books here. Secret Cities of Old South America is by Harold Wilkins, and it shows some of the strange things that are found. Like there are cities found in Mexico, really ancient cities, I mean, you know, ruins, Mexico, South America, that have Caucasian faces on the statues, indicating, you know, white people. They have some that show Negro features.
I've heard about that in Egypt.
These are found
queen,
in South America.
Queen Nefertiti or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I'm holding the book's an inch and a half thick in my hand here. It's 500 pages roughly about that type of thing. So if you want more on that, I would steer you. Mm-hmm. Now, the guys, I don't believe the guys are necessarily Christian, and just because they recommend them doesn't mean, you know, I believe everything they say. But the Wex Club, World Explorer Club, they're near Chicago. They do a lot of writing on that very topic.
Huh. Okay. Make note of that there. All right, and one more question here. So here on Pal Talk, we're usually taking turns, so I'll get off and let somebody else get on. Somebody wants to know, ask Kent if he thinks that the mark is the chip.
I don't know if we can know that for sure, but I think so.
Okay.
Or certainly something like that. The computer chip that was developed in the early 90s, Carl Sanders, a friend of mine from Arkansas, is one of the guys who was on the group developing the chip. The purpose of the microchip they developed, and I've got a bunch of them here. You can buy them for, you know, $6 a piece. You can go to the veterinarian, you know, he can put one in your dog, you know. These little microchips are a little bigger than a grain of rice. The purpose of this development of this chip with a government grant, and Carl Sanders was on the committee, they were going to try to make a computer chip small enough that one could be inserted in every muscle. All of them could then be connected to a computer, and paralyzed people could learn to walk. That was a goal. It failed. But it succeeded at micro-sizing the chip.
And now, is it a transponder, or is it just...
It's a transponder. Now, you can get bigger ones that actually have battery power. Mm-hmm. They experimented with a lithium battery that would recharge itself as body temperature changed. They actually spent $1 million, according to Carl Sanders, doing a study trying to find out what part of the human body changes temperature the most to know where to put the chip so it could recharge the battery. Well, any mother could have told him, where do you check for a fever? The forehead or the back of the hand? That's exactly what the study revealed.
Hmm.
That if you're going to put a chip in somebody, it should be in the forehead or the back of the hand. But Carl Sanders' website is Trumpet Men for Ministry. .com, .org, .net, try them all.
Yeah.
He's in central Arkansas. I forget the name of the city now. Mountain View, I believe. Mountain View, Arkansas. All right?
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and get off here and let somebody else out there
wanting
to call.
All right.
Sit here listening.
Thanks a lot. Call anytime.
Thanks a lot.
All right. All right, folks, you can join us on the program. We've got about 7 minutes left. We'll get as many of these as we can, and we take phone calls first, so if you really want your question answered, call in. Otherwise, we'll get to instant message next. Here we have, please comment on the... Oh, I didn't do K-A-I-Z-O, how do you pronounce that? Dr. Ogan has convinced me that God exists. How do I know that Jesus is who he says he is to be? Well, when Jesus claims to be God, you know either he is or he isn't. Okay, you can narrow it down to those two choices. If he isn't, then you cannot say he's a good man. You have to say he's a liar or he is a lunatic. Josh McDowell said it best. Jesus is the Lord, a liar, or a lunatic. There are no other options. So when Jesus is claiming he's God, that really makes it real simple. He is or he isn't. And when you look at the miracles that, raising people from the dead, healing, you know, all kinds of people of all kinds of diseases, who else could do that? And knowing the future, knowing what people are thinking, You know, they got to be God to do that, as far as I can figure out.
And it's funny, though. You know, you talk to a lot of people, and it's all right to mention God, but once you start mentioning Jesus Christ, you know, everything starts to change.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Osama bin Laden believes in God.
Yeah.
Yeah. The devil believes in God. James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Yep. So Jesus claimed to be God, which means he is or isn't, and you got to take it from there. And he did lots of miracles. Plus, you could look at the changed lives, you know, mine included. And you can look at the prophecies. There are all kinds of ways to document the Bible is indeed what it claims to be. I would go to Evidence That Demands a Verdict. That was Josh McDowell's book, classic book. I don't know what his website is, but I would start there. Josh, J-O-S-H, McDowell, Irish, I guess, M-C, capital D-O-W-E-L-L. See what you find there. Okay, hope that helps. Please comment on the Vatican newspaper denounces intelligent design, livescience.com. Vatican newspaper denounces intelligent design. Well, exactly what is the opposite of intelligent design?
Dumb luck.
Dumb luck, correct. You got it, Albert. You get the raise, okay.
Yes.
The Vatican newspaper has published an article saying intelligent design is not science and that teaching it alongside evolutionary theory in classrooms only creates confusion. Oh, that's it. So let's teach them only one lie, okay? Let's provide no competition for the lie, okay? This is communism at its best. Okay, kids, which is best, communism or communism? Who do you want to vote for, you know? Igor or Igor? And if you don't vote, we shoot you. And if you vote for the wrong one, we shoot you. And there's only one to vote for, so... That's what the classroom's doing here. Oh, Vatican. Those guys need help, and I'll be glad to help them. Tell the Vatican to call in. We'll fix their problems, okay? Yosarian says, all popes from the 1960s onward have been supporters of evolution because they are modernists and progressivists, not because it is a matter of Catholic teaching. I have no clue about that. I don't care what Catholic teaching is. I don't even care. I care what does the Bible say. I want to know the truth, okay? And I think the Catholics teach truth on some issues, and they teach error on some issues. I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm for truth and against error. And so if when they're right, I'll applaud them. I think they're right on their stand against abortion. Abortion is murder, okay? I think they're wrong on their teaching of salvation. So, eat the meat, spit out the bones. You have to pick and choose. You don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Here we go with all these slogans down through the years. Okay, here we go. Buzz UK 234. Buzz, you are up late over there in the United Kingdom, but we're glad you're listening. Hi, Ken. After reading your booklet, The Prophet, I was even more concerned about the Roman Catholic Church. Knowing what they did to help the Islamic religion start, spread, and use each other interchangeably during the war against the Jews, and the world is unbelievable. I would like to know what other books you recommend on this topic. Many thanks, Joe. Joe, if you look on chick.com, C-H-I-C-K, you will see quite a few books about both Catholicism and Islam. There is a good book. Leah, since you're working in the library tonight, do you know about Islam, America, or in the books about Islam, where they are? The Trojan, America's Trojan Horse is one by Don Boyes. They would all be in the cults section. Is that where it is, right there, that shelf? Okay. But there are quite a few books. The green one, is that about Islam? Those three green ones, identical, right there. Nope, that's not it. Okay. I do have a green cover, though. This is going to be great. Get the library organized. Leah just joined the staff here. You going to keep it organized now in spite of all my messing it up? Okay. Welcome to the staff, Leah. Anyway, yes, go to chick.com. There are some good books on there that deal with the topic of Islam and Catholicism. And, again, I know Jack Chick personally. He's a good, close friend of mine. 79 years old, I believe. Great guy. Southern California, one of the L.A. suburbs, right near the Ontario Airport, if you care. But you can get a hold of their ministry and ask them questions. David Daniels took over, is doing a lot of the work now for Jack, since Jack's getting pretty old. But you can call David Daniels. He's very knowledgeable on Catholics. Go to chick.com. They have lots of stuff right on their site. You can read it and some good books on that. Okay, BungieGo00 writes in, hello, I was wondering, where did the potholes in the Scablands come from? If they came from Noah's flood, how did the flood create potholes? Thank you. Oh, I don't think the Scablands came from Noah's Flood. I think the channeled Scablands, assuming you're talking about the ones in Washington and Idaho, I've been there many times. 20 times, okay?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's in Idaho. You ever heard of it? You've just been in Florida, haven't you?
I've been to Alabama and Georgia.
That's good. Yeah, that's worth a raise. Here we go. Who is This Allah is a book you want to get. And Islamic Invasion by Robert Morey. Those two books on Chick.com. Well, the one's written, published by Chick. The other one's by Harvest House in Eugene, Oregon. Both of those are barn burners about the Islam. Thank you, ma'am. Okay? We don't want to burn the barn, though. So the potholes in this channel, Scablands, assuming Idaho, Eastern Washington, I believe that was from a ice dam that broke probably a few hundred years after Noah's flood. I believe the ice was melting back, as ice does, and the glaciers were retreating, excuse me, across that area, and you know, ice dammed up, and a huge lake was backed up, and it all released at one time, or maybe a couple of times, and, you know, happens on small scale all the time in the spring when the ice, you've never seen ice, have you?
No. Well, I've seen ice. I had to scrape it off my windshield the other day.
It's a little chilly up here. I would say the channel Scablands, assuming you're talking about the ones in Washington, Idaho area, came a few hundred years after the flood, maybe even 1,000 years after the flood. I don't know. But that was certainly, you know, made a mess of where Portland is today. Here we go. Hippie writes, everyone I talk to says there is hard DNA evidence for evolution. I ask what this evidence is and where they got it. They always say, oh, I don't know, but I know it's there. But I know there is evidence. Can you comment any evidence even come close to this happening? Boy, Hippie, I'll take that up tomorrow. And Jason and Kind Houston and all you guys, I'm going to save your questions and start with them tomorrow. See you then. Thanks a lot. Bye. Thank you.